For 4 years, the Edinburgh Zoo in Scotland had a big problem. A 12-year-old female elephant named Dolly refused to leave her indoor pen and go to the outdoor enclosure. Now, the zookeepers theorized that the elephant had been frightened by something on the outside. The staff tried everything, including lighting a fire under her. But the 2-ton mammal simply would not budge. And then the zoo appealed to the entire world for suggestions and received 1,000 letters. One suggestion was that the zoo got a male elephant named Dilly and put him in the outdoor enclosure. And the letter said if he didn't get her to come out, the zoo at least would have the best named twosome in all of Elephant Land, Dilly, Dolly. Now, none of the suggestions worked. The elephant simply would not budge. How very much like that story is the story of people's lives today. So many people today feel powerless before problems that seem to be immovable. There are the personal problems of illness, drugs, family, stress. There are the world problems that create personal hardships for us, such as the cost of energy, inflation, the whole cumulative effect of living in the nuclear bullseye for over 3 decades now. We today are faced with the daily task of trying to hold life together in the very midst of the experience of disintegration. Many years ago, George Bonanos, in his classic book, The Diary of a Country Priest, wrote about times like these. In the book, there's a lengthy discussion on the seeming indifference of people toward religion and toward their faith. He said, there's no hostility. It's simply that people have become too busy for what, in a time less hectic, was one of the nice things of life. Today, our lives are too fast-paced. They're too preoccupied for religion. But Bernanos goes on to say, there will come a time when all of this feverish activity and our fascination with what we have created today will come to an end. And then there will be the first 15 minutes of silence. And then the word will be heard by people, not the voice they rejected, that spoke so quietly, I am the way, the resurrection, and the life. But the voice that comes from the depths, I am the door, forever locked. I am the road that leads nowhere. I am the lie, the everlasting dark. And we wonder, has that first 15 minutes of silence come today? There's so much apprehension about the future. There's pessimism. There's a failure of nerve today. So much like that elephant, life seems to have become an immovable problem. It is the feeling that has spawned a whole new cult of survival, even an industry of survival. You can prepare for survival for the future through the purchase of any number of things. For only $39,000, you can buy a one-bedroom underground condominium in Utah, complete with blast-proof doors, 4 years' supply of food stashed away in the walls and the ceiling, and plenty of rifles to keep people away, if you're still alive. Do you see what is happening today? If the future is seen in terms of survival, then the present time has become despair. But we people are not called to become survivors. We are called to transcend these fears today and learn how to trust in the precious gift of faith that we fortunate people have been given. The temptation is always there to try to find a place of shelter from the fears of our lives. There's always a temptation to run away. The fear of the future is not new at all. Can we not detect that kind of fear among the disciples when they came to realize that Jesus really meant it when he said he was leaving? What would they do without him? Is it not fear that underlies the need for Jesus to reassure them by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled"? And then the disciples plead with Jesus to show them the way to the Father. They want something tangible that they can hang on to, touch. And Jesus says, "You have seen me. You have touched me." That means, he said, you've seen the way and the truth. And not only that, you have seen the Father who lives in me. Little flower, St. Teresa of Lisieux said, "God walks among the pots and the pans of every kitchen in the world." She's saying that God, that mysterious presence, is so close to us, but it is up to us to open our eyes of faith and recognize that living presence in our midst. We live on the very shores of infinity, but the temptation is always to pick up the nearest grain of sand and become so preoccupied with that grain of sand that we fail to see where we are. We don't look up and see the horizons. And that preoccupation with the sand destroys our awareness of infinity. That preoccupation is such a powerful temptation because those grains of sand have become so fascinating today because they are something we are able to control. But the grains of sand happen to be an illusion. But they are our masters. And when we succumb to that temptation to let the sand control us, then our lives become wretched. But life is not wretched. Life is good. The problem is that our hands are too small and our vision becomes so muddled that we don't see. The Lord told the disciples that they must go on alone, but they clutched the grains of sand in their hand and said, "Show us the way." And that way had been shown to them and to us. To listen to the call of the voice of the mystery that we call God in our heart. The Father lives in us, calling us away from ourself, calling us away from the need for constant safety. The call is always there, deep in our heart, the summons to abandon our fear. Do you remember how often it has happened to you? Your heart is broken. For some reason, you think you are going to go to pieces, but you do not. You discover the kind of strength that you did not know you had. Your heart still goes on hurting, but it is also healing, and you know deep down that you are going to make it. You're going to be all right. Each of us has known that experience so often, but now recognize, where have you been when that happened? You were living then in the very presence of the Spirit of the living God. Even though you were unaware, the mysterious presence of God was with you and is always with us, strengthening, guiding, comforting, particularly in our blackest moments. We are always called to abandon our fears, the fears that are the wheelchairs of our troubled minds. We all live in wheelchairs of our broken hearts, our disturbed emotions. Do not let your hearts be troubled any longer. We all have the precious gift of faith, Easter faith, resurrection power. Do not let your hearts be troubled.